You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Obviously, it didn't turn out to be a light rain. It was more steady. It was heavier.
By the way, just to let you know, it's supposed to rain today. On my iPhone, I have rain.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
That's a big FYI for the Mets and their weather experts.
And we talked to exclusive forecast expert.
Exclusive to the Mets.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
Yeah, the best is that we have a room.
First is a lot of screens. We've seen different Dopplers.
I'm gonna close the door quickly. Why? We don't want anybody else to see. The weather expert likes to keep it in this room alone.
This is DCR.
The weather outside is weather.
On 98.7 ESPN.
It really is unbelievable. You can't make it up. I mean, the soundbite of we have many weather experts and we have many Dopplers in a room. It's just, I mean, didn't you think it was going to be different? I'm not blaming Steve Cohen, but didn't you think, Rick, that it was going to be different with an owner worth $15 billion and not have the same, you know, song and dance that we've had for years with this organization?
I was hoping that was going to be the case, yeah. That was the expectation.
Weather experts.
But so far, I mean, there's been, I mean, you go back to Jared Porter. I mean, that was the start of it. And then, I mean, some of the free agents that you were looking to sign ended up going different places. But, I mean, again, I don't understand why, and listen to those clips, we have to get that in-depth with the explanation.
Right. We thought that we were going to be able to play. We couldn't play. We made a mistake. You move on. Do I really have to hear about we have all these Dopplers in a room? What the hell? What are they doing, though?
We have an exclusive forecaster.
Do they have someone employed on staff as a weather expert?
And we talked to exclusive forecast expert.
What an exclusive? What, first of all, what is an what does that even mean? Seriously,
well, I don't know exactly who it is.
So he has it. He hasn't.
First is a lot of screens, seeing different Dopplers.
It's unbelievable. So we have an exclusive weather expert, but he hasn't yet met the manager.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
So he walks by everybody like in the hallways at Citi Field. Hey, how are you? Good.
It's
how are
going
you?
Rain.
How do you do? I can't tell you.
It's amazing to me. I don't know what the, like, he would have to explain to me what the benefit of trying to play that game was yesterday.
He's not very good with the media.
No, I almost feel bad for him.
I agree with you. I actually feel like he's in over his head.
And I think he probably is. But I think we're at a point now in Major League Baseball where, I mean, most of these managers aren't really making decisions anyway.
Well, just give me a guy that at least can handle things appropriately. Like, can speak to the media coherently and not make your organization sound foolish, no?
Yeah, but if you're in that situation, right? I mean, you do this for a living. But if you're the one that has to take the slings and arrows from the media and sit in front of sit at that microphone and answer these questions when you know that you're not responsible for the decisions, like how well is that going to go over?
I get it, but I mean, listen to what he says. I mean,
and we talked to exclusive forecast expert.
What is an exclusive forecast expert?
Someone that exclusively works with the Mets, I guess.
First is a lot of screens, seeing different Dopplers.
That's I almost said man, but I guess it could be a female as well, or an animal or somebody. They have one person exclusively that is on the payroll to tell them, okay, look out, it's going to rain today. Does that really exist?
It's going to rain.
Yeah, but forget all that for a quick second, right? Like, just independent of all the screens and the exclusive.
First is a lot of screens, seeing different Dopplers.
So, I mean, let's just think about what the forecast was. Even if you said it was going to be for a certain period of time, a light mist. At some point, it was going to rain, and it was going to rain heavy.
Correct.
So you're going to have to most likely stop that game. You already don't trust your bullpen. Even though your bullpen is rested, you don't really trust your bullpen. I mean, Edwin Diaz couldn't even get out of the ninth inning after Jacob DeGrom gives you 8 innings of one-run ball, right? Like, Diaz couldn't even get out of the ninth inning. So you don't trust your bullpen anyway. What was the benefit of starting that game? You want to get as many innings out of your starter as humanly possible. And Stroman actually pitched well in his first outing.
He was excellent.
Okay, so I want him to pitch as much as he can. I want to get him as deep as humanly possible in that game. If you're telling me at some point we're going to have to stop this game for an extended period of time, that means you lose him. He's done. So he gives you two, he gives you three, whatever it ends up being, you lose him, and now you have to cover the rest of the game with your bullpen that you don't really trust anyways.
That's right. That's right.
So why even start?
The
it's your decision.
Expert told them that the day was going to be playable.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
Oh, my God, I love that. I think that's my favorite sound drop that we've ever had. He doesn't
but this
know
isn't
exactly
the first one that he's had.
Expert is.
But this isn't the first one he's had. I mean, remember the Jacob DeGrom situation after the first start where they pulled him? Well, he had, you know, so many up and downs. And how is that different from any other start?
Right. And he threw 77 pitches.
It turns out, though, listen,
I thought he sounded way worse yesterday than he did after DeGrom's first start, though.
I give him the benefit of the doubt on that first one because apparently Jacob DeGrom was part of the reason why he came out of that game. Like, it seemed like he was mostly responsible for taking himself out of that game. But I just don't, again, it feeds the narrative, doesn't it? Like, when
but
you hear
you
stuff
know
like this.
What's frustrating to me is you're the laughing stock. Why do you always have to be the laughing stock? Like, I thought we were done with this. I thought that this new ownership group, he'd come in, it would legitimize things. Why do you always have to do that? You're your own worst enemy. You shouldn't
I can't
have
answer that
the
question.
Game yesterday.
Yeah, I can't answer that question. I don't know why they consistently do stuff like this.
But why? I mean, you should be a high-functioning, you know, well-oiled machine. We have weather experts. We have a room full of Dopplers, and I don't even know who that person is that makes a decision. Come on.
Yeah, but Dave, here's what makes it worse, though, too, is... And now what makes it even worse is you got Stroman piling on after the fact on Twitter.
He's furious about it. I don't blame him.
Yeah, but okay, let me ask you a question. You're a Mets fan. I'm a Mets fan.
Yes.
Canty's off gallivanting on a different show. But could you imagine that if the Yankees made this decision,
there would be
a Yankees player spouting off on Twitter about it?
No, but here's the thing. You're right. They wouldn't be because they would say, you know what, it's not allowed. I mean, Odor can't have a beard with the Yankees yesterday. But here's the thing. The Yankees would never make that decision. Ever. The Yankees would never put themselves in a position where they had to go out there and have a 9-pitch game and have weather experts lead them down the wrong path. Ever.
But if they did, my point is if they did make that decision.
You're right. If they did, you would not have guys coming out blasting the decision by the organization. You are correct.
I mean, that's part of the problem.
Is it they feel like they have the authority to do stuff like that?
Yeah, that's exactly why I thought someone like Buck Showalter would have been good for this team to come in and actually like assert himself with some discipline with this team because the talent is there. I mean, they're talented enough to win, but it drove me crazy last year. I was listening to a bunch of different people and like, oh, there's no team in Major League Baseball that got less out of more than the Mets.
Yep.
Like, how many years are we going to do that?
But I thought the thing that's so frustrating to me is I thought it was different. I thought this year was actually different. I felt like this year they were trending in the right direction, and you were going to spend money, and you had a new owner. It was Sandy Alderson was in place now, and things were moving differently. And now it's the same thing. Now it's the same exact thing. And I get that we're 5 games in, but talk me out of it. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I don't know how I could tell you that you're wrong after hearing that. I mean, that was a mistake. They made a mistake. Did I need to listen to all of that with the television screens and everything else? No, just say, well, listen, we try to get the game in, and we made a mistake.
That's it.
It'll be rescheduled, which is probably to the Mets' benefit, in all honesty.
Right, when they reschedule pitching it. Later in the season.
Yeah, because you're going to have Syndergaard back, and you'll have Lugo back. I mean,
you'll be back.
Yeah, you'll be stronger. But I don't know. I just what actually, you burned Stroman, which pissed me off. And then to listen to Rojas after the game made me aggravated. And then I was actually even more aggravated when Stroman decided to come out and rip the decision.
So you have multiple issues here. You have a problem with Stroman doing that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he's in his second year, right? And for me, that's a lack of respect for your manager because he's the one that made the decision. Making that decision to play that game was on your manager to make that decision.
Correct.
Did he make it independently?
Expert.
Probably not. But still, you're ripping the organization.
Yeah. You're right. It's a bad look.
What's a lack of respect?
Well, I think that we've seen that from Strowman in the past, though.
Yeah, but if that's the case inside the clubhouse, that's not what you want.
Nope. Jason Harned tweets, and sources confirm the New York Mets have signed exclusive rights to Punxsutawney Phil moving forward.
Siri, will it rain?
I mean, I just...
Can we play this game?
I can't believe the sound bites there, really.
I just look at the teams in New York that are having success, that were also kind of along the same lines as the Mets, where it's like they couldn't get out of their own way. Islanders, we couldn't get out of our own way. We were right. Laughingstock. You know, but like, I live those days. We were laughingstock. New York Knicks have been a laughingstock. I could never imagine in my wildest dreams with the Islanders now, who won again last night, by the way, and the New York Knicks under Thibodeau, that any of those players would come out on Twitter after game criticizing the organization. There's not a chance that happens.
Yeah, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. But, you know, he should know better also.
But he feels like... But that's the problem, is that he feels comfortable doing it. Like, you shouldn't feel comfortable going on Twitter criticizing the organization. That shouldn't be something that even crosses your mind.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, but they've empowered him.
I think they've empowered everybody, which is part of the problem.
They've never told these guys, no, you can't do it. We're not okay with that.
Because they've just all been doing their own thing. And I don't think that's conducive to winning. I know it's little things, but I mean, sometimes those little things make all the difference.
All the difference.
There's a reason why the Yankees don't let you have a beard. There's a reason why the Islanders don't let you have a beard. Like, those mm-hmm. are, like, there are little things that, you know, these teams make you do that, you know, you can be aggravated about, but when you look at the track record of do they work, yeah, they seem to work. You can't argue the results. If you're on the Islanders right now, like if you're Kyle Palmieri,
you cannot argue. You're
and
right.
You get traded.
Whatever they're doing, right? You're not talking to the media. We're going to keep it very close to the vest. You can't argue it. You're winning games. You're one of the best teams in hockey.
Exactly right. So I got to watch the Mets. I got Stroman, who's obviously, we could tell. On the mound, you could tell he was pissed. Yeah, we get it. We understand it. He comes out and blasts the organization. I got guys running around with, maybe it's just me, but it bothers me. I mean, different color belts and everything. It's just like, come on, man. Like, I'm watching. Like, the Yankees aren't doing that stuff. Can we just, let's get it together a little bit.
Yep.
Let's act like a team.
It's the same song and dance no matter who owns or who runs the team. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Guest on DCR PRB, the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. So here's my question. I'll ask it to you, but I want to oppose it to the listeners as well. 800-919-3776. Does Luis Rojas make the season?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Big activity happening.
How are you fitting big activities with two new puppies?
I'm going to let someone else watch these two new puppies for at least the hour. We will be drafting rec league baseball teams tonight.
What does that mean?
Alex is in a rec baseball league.
Oh,
I am coaching his team, and we will be drafting teams.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they had a practice. Like, all of them got together for one big practice, and I went to the entirety of the practice, and I watched, and I took notes the other day. People thought that was odd, but I'm not coaching to try to make friends here.
No, you're not messing around.
No.
See, when you said drafting, I thought you'd do it some kind of like the fantasy situation.
Of children? No, that would be a little bizarre.
Or one of your leagues.
No.
Well, you didn't say children.
Well, that's true. It's fair. But rec league baseball.
So at least you guys are having practice. Like, we had a soccer game yesterday. We had one practice.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They're not practicing.
That's
just games.
At least they got to play, though.
Yeah, but you've seen, I mean, have you seen 6 and 7-year-olds?
Oh.
Play soccer.
It's terrible. But there's nothing worse than youth bait. Like 6, 7, 8-year-old baseball is the absolute pits of everything.
When the kids start pitching?
Oh, God.
Ball how 9, long do those games last?
Ball 15, ball 26. Please, Stevie, throw a strike. Please throw a strike. So you should have seen me at this big practice the other day because I didn't know all the kids. So I'm walking. I'm like, hey, you, psst, what's your name? You're good. He's like, I'm Ben. I was like, Ben, are you going to really be showing up for things or are you one of these kids who's going to show up occasionally? I need commitment to the team.
You may get kicked out of the league before it starts.
It's possible.
There's got to be some kind of rules against that.
Why? I want to know who they are. I should know who's available to be drafted.
can't be having these weird conversations.
Well, not like I pulled him into the parking lot. It was right there on the field as he's taking soft toss. I was like, hey, what's your name? You have a nice swing. He's like, I'm Ben. I was like, all right.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
Maybe you can have one of those rooms like the Mets where you have the TV screens.
Yeah, the Doppler.
First is a lot of screens, seeing different Dopplers.
He walks into the room. My God, look at all these screens. This is unbelievable.
Who's in that closet over there? Oh, that's our weather guy.
Yeah. And we talked to exclusive forecast expert.
But, well, what's his name? We can't tell you that, unfortunately.
We don't know. I'm not sure. We haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
Oh, my goodness.
All knock right, on the door. Knock on the door twice if we can play.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go out there. Right out there. Who are you?
Can't
you
imagine.
Can't know that.
We got this big room with screens.
It's a Doppler.
All the weather room. Outside is
just
weather.
Say you, multiple just Doppler say you made a mistake. Screen. That makes it worse.
That's right. You made a bad situation. Why are you attacking me? You made a bad situation way worse.
You have the fact that you have a whole room dedicated to making these decisions, and you still screwed it up. That makes it worse.
It's remarkable. It really is. Let's go to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Hammer in the Bronx. Good morning, Hammer.
Good morning, fellas. Hope all is well. I just wanted to touch on your question, Dave, in regards to shit, is Rojas going to be here the entire season? I don't think so. I think, honestly, when Cohen took over, there were talks, the door is open, he may still be here, he may not be. 6-for-41 with runners in scoring position. I know we just started a week ago, but that's kind of scary. And to me, that same old Mets, that's always been our trouble. As long as I've been a Mets fan, and that's 35 years now, it's always been a struggle for them with runners in scoring position. The batting lineup is not the best in the world, especially the way Conforto has been looking so far. McNeil batting seventh is not ideal. He should be batting at least third in the lineup. But I'm not sure about Rojas right now. I'm a little iffy with everything that's going on. Granted, there were players that were so for it because they came up through the farm system with him and loved him. But I'm not sold right now. And if Cohen wants a World Series within the next 3 to 5 years, I don't believe Rojas is the answer.
Yeah, but Hammer, sometimes that's not a great thing. In my experience with coaches, sometimes you just get comfortable. Like, and you don't want to make a change because you like how things are going, because he makes it... You're friendly with him. You know him. You get to pretty much do whatever the hell you want. Yeah, that's great. Of course. I mean, who wants a change at that point? But, I mean, this team, I mean, Luis Rojas isn't to blame for what they do with runners in scoring position. That's
no.
Not him.
Conforto, who can't hit the baseball at all right now, it's not Rojas' fault. I mean, you might want to take him out of the three spot, but that's not Rojas' fault.
Well, they did.
He's been so bad.
He was. I mean, they had to move down for that game. But, I mean, I'm not going to... You better hope like hell that Rojas is the manager of this team, because if he's not, that means you're not having a good
Things
season.
Things have gone sideways, right?
Exactly right.
Yep.
But as far as the lineup is concerned, I'm not... Are you convinced that Rojas is the one responsible for making the lineup?
No. And no, even so, I can't blame him for that. How am I going to blame the guy? Because these guys don't hit?
No, I mean the construction of the lineup.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Like, I know people aren't happy that McNeil's batting seventh, which to me doesn't make great sense either, because he's one of the better
hitters. Well, it is a puzzling decision, no?
It is, but again, I mean, you're pretending like there's not, you know, smart people. There should be smart people that are crunching numbers and everything else and coming up with what they think is the best lineup. It's just not willy-nilly where they just say, oh, you know what?
You say this, and the guy has a post-game press conference where he tells you there's a weather expert who's in a room with many Dopplers who he hasn't yet to meet. So, I mean, how can you have any confidence in anything?
I don't really have confidence in anything at this point, but I mean, I would hope that when Steve Cohen took over the team and he's telling me he wants to be the East Coast LA Dodgers, where we know the front office makes most of those decisions, that that's what's happening. Like, you think it's Aaron Boone that's like, you know who would, you
no.
know who I'll bat third? No, Aaron Boone, like, he's not the one making those decisions.
No.
That's a collaborative effort where they're going through all a bunch of different lineups.
You're the face of all the decisions.
Yes.
That's what you are as a manager now.
And look how much money they make. They don't get paid. I mean, they're not getting paid big money.
No.
I mean, they're middle managers now.
It's exactly what they are. I wonder if you think Tony La Russa is a middle manager. You think
no.
They're saying, you know what, Tony, you go do your thing.
No, I think Tony La Russa.
Francona.
I think Francona. I think they, from what I was told,
Joe Madden with the Angels.
Yeah, they get all the same kind of analytics. And they'll be presented with the same kind of analytics, but there are decisions that those guys are allowed to make that some managers wouldn't necessarily have the ability to make.
Let's go to Spike in New Jersey or Florida. But just Spike, enough with the Jersey. You're in Florida. That's where you reside now. Can we please move forward with that?
I never said I was in New Jersey.
Oh.
Most people have been saying Spike in St. Pete or Florida. Either way, where it's warm now. But anyway, good to talk to you boys. Wanted to talk about the Knick game last night, and I've noticed something. I know, Rick, you'll probably agree with this. Presumptuously, I think I got it right. But I think the most difficult thing for a team that's improving is to close out a team equal or better than them at home. And the Knicks blew four games at home this year. That they could have won all four, or one of the above, or two, or whatever. But the last two victories against Toronto has a worse record, but they're better team, better players anyway. And last night's game was wild. It was really wild. But I see R.J. Barrett, and I remember talking to Dave when he was at Duke, and I think he was the number one player in the country before Zion
came. He was a bigger recruit than Zion when he went to Duke, yep.
Right, and you told me on Saturday, you said, this kid is going to be terrific. He's got it all. His problems, obviously, handling the ball. But his shooting, I noticed he tucked his elbow in a little more minor stuff, but his percentage from the weak side corner is tremendous, and they're going to take that away at some point. I think Randall is not injured, but I think he's got a nagging injury to some extent because he's not shooting his jump shot the same way. But I'll tell you, he's pulling Peyton off the floor at the end because he can't finish or can't shoot, and he's leaving Burks, who can't handle the ball that well, but bringing it up. And I'll tell you, I've been watching the Knicks ever since, who knows, Wood was invented, and they're improving right in front of our eyes. I know it's the coach mostly, but I think we're going to really do well. And I predict that they will be about two games under 500 after the first 20. And I'm going to stay with it because of the schedule. But, man, they're fun to watch. I'd love to hear what you guys got to say. And have a great day.
Thanks, Spike. I love it. I'm telling you, Rick, it was a chore to watch the Knicks for years. It is now a pleasure. They're back on tonight. I look forward to the game. They are an exciting team to watch right now.
Yeah, they play hard.
Yep.
And they play great defense, and I can understand. When you don't have a point guard and you get into these closely contested games, they haven't been good. But, I mean, yesterday was a case where they made it way closer than it should have been, but they found a way to pull it out. And the players are getting better. R.J. Barrett is getting
better. He is absolutely
right.
Getting better.
He's getting better
in front of your eyes. Alec Burks is a guy I actually enjoy watching him play.
Yeah, I do too, and he's been clutch. In the last couple games, he's been clutch, especially in that game against Memphis. In the fourth quarter and overtime, he was awesome. But, again, you're putting him in a situation. You saw the turnover last night. That's not, I mean... When Quickley's not scoring points, he wasn't good again last night. I mean, the fact that Alec Burks is your answer for the point guard position.
They don't have a lot of answers.
Yeah, but that, I mean, you can ultimately see why that could be a problem.
Of course, they're going to remedy it in the offseason. So stay patient, watch the end of the season, enjoy it for what it is, and I really believe they'll have a point guard heading into next season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I would think this would be a very grinding job, but he is a man that gets it done. He is Rich Simini. He covers the Jets for us at ESPN. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me. It doesn't grind on you because it changes every couple of years with the Jets, so it keeps it fresh.
I guess that's a valid point. So, all right, so the freshness now. You have an article up on ESPN.com, and I'm just looking it over, and I agree with you. It feels like there's a decent amount of pressure on Joe Douglas right now, right? Like, he's built it up to this point. He's made the trades. He's stockpiled picks. He's done what he's wanted to do. People are not furious with him for the lack of success last year. This is his time now. He has to hit a home run in this draft.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you said a medium amount of pressure. I think there's a lot of pressure on Joe Douglas. This is, like you said, this is the two-part turnaround. The first part is the teardown. Well, he's accomplished that. I think we'd all agree on that. And he's got a good bunch of draft capital. In some respects, it's franchise making, history making with what they have. And now he's just got he's got 21 picks over the next 2 years, including seven in the first two rounds. And he's got to hit on most of these. Not all of them. I mean, there's going to be some misses, but he's got to hit on most of them. Then he's got to hit on the first one on the first night of the draft. That's the most important one of all, the number two pick in the draft.
And Rich, you're convinced. I mean, we had Adam Schefter on. He said he already texted Zach Wilson and said, welcome to New York. It's going to be Zach Wilson with the second pick, correct?
Yes, I believe it will be Zach Wilson, the new quarterback of the Jets.
So,
I mean, it's just been going that way for a few weeks, and I think, I mean, just from connecting the dots, you know, with the San Francisco trade was a giveaway, and just from talking to people in the league and around Douglas the last few days and weeks, even Douglas, when we asked him on a Zoom call last week, every time we mentioned the quarter, he kind of had a smile on his face, so it's pretty much known.
So, okay, they take Zach Wilson with the second pick, and Dave just mentioned all the draft capital, everything that Joe Douglas has at his disposal. Where do you think they go after they take the quarterback with that first with their first round pick later in the draft?
Yeah, that's the forgotten pick. No one's been talking about that, but they do have a pretty good pick there at 23. And you know, Rick, they have so many needs. I mean, just start listing them: cornerback. They definitely need an offensive lineman, a guard. You know, they need linebackers, so they could go in a bunch of different directions there. They also have the flexibility of, you know, if they want to drop down and get more picks or move up and grab a player they really love, they have that. I mean, now with the twos they have next year, I mean, if Joe Douglas wants to really get aggressive and move up and down this board, he could offer next year's two to jump up into the 12-13 range to get, you know, if someone slips like a Devontae Smith or a Jalen Waddle, a receiver like that, or one of the really good offensive linemen, he has that flexibility now.
Do you expect that, Rich? And Rich Cimini with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Do you expect Douglas to kind of play the board and move up and down? We've seen Seattle do that a lot in the last couple of drafts. Is that what you expect from Douglas in this draft?
Well, we don't have a lot of track record with Joe because it was just last year's draft, but he did do it last year. You saw him move down in the second round and still get a good guy in Denzel Mims. He made a trade later with the Patriots later on in the draft. So he's definitely shown a willingness. I mean, he's been GM for almost 2 years, and he's already made 11 player trades, you know, Darnold trade being the 11th. And so, yeah, I do expect him to be pretty aggressive.
Rich Cimini joins us here on the show. Rich, Dave and I have gone back and forth. I mean, once Sam was traded and we knew they were bringing in Zach Wilson, we both agree the importance of having a veteran backup, right? And the name Dave and I keep going back to, which I think would be a perfect fit, is Alex Smith. Now, they brought in Brian Hoyer. Where does that position stand at the moment?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, they brought him in, you know, for just to check him out, look, see, and you know, I think they're going to continue to look in that market. I agree with you totally. That normally is an important position, you know, to have when you're drafting a rookie quarterback. But I think even more so this year, because it looks like we're going to have another virtual offseason. You know, so these guys might not be on the field until training camp. So a guy like Zach Wilson coming in, it's going to be tough for him, not impossible and perhaps doable, but it's going to be, you know, a challenge to be ready for week one if you're going to be the starter. So you need that veteran insurance. I think a guy like Nick Mullins from San Francisco is a free agent now. His staff is very familiar with him. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. He's coming off elbow surgery, and he won't be ready until about training camp, but he's a guy to keep an eye on, I think.
Rich Cimini with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Rich, we saw, and listen, I don't know what Darnold's going to be, but they did him no favors. I mean, the weapons that he had to work with were almost comical how bad it was for the 3 years that he was here. Do you expect, I mean, right now the Jets don't have a ton of weapons. I mean, they did okay in the offseason, signing a couple of, you know, Corey Davis, certainly good. Cole should be good. But, I mean, do you expect them to go hard after, like, real playmakers so that Wilson has something to work with right away?
It's a great question, Dave. You know, the receiving core is no doubt better than what it was last year. I mean, they brought in Corey Davis. He's going to be really good for a rookie quarterback. He's got such a big catch radius, and his stats on contested passes are very good. In fact, he led the league last year on the catch percentage on contested passes. So he'll help a young quarterback. You know, Keelan Cole, they got, has been kind of a sleeper. No one's really talking about him. He's going to be playing a lot. But then you get into the questions. I mean, the tight end is a big question. You know, who's their running back? You know, who's their number one running back? He's not here yet. And the offensive line, the biggest question of all, it's the same five guys that Darnold struggled behind last year. So, you're asking a lot of Zach Wilson, or even if it were Trevor Lawrence coming in, to come in and shine in this particular offensive cast. It has to be better.
Yeah, but Rich, I would imagine that's, I mean, again, this is, you know, Joe Douglas has said it a couple different times. I mean, he believes in that. They have to address the offensive line in this draft, don't they?
Yeah, they could do it at 23. I mean, if the kid from USC is there at 23, I think he's a plug-and-play player. You know, there's a couple, you know, the kid from Oklahoma State, Jenkins, is probably going to be like a later first, early second. You know, they have the 34th pick. I think he'd be a guy. Yeah, they got to get a plug-and-play guy who can come in and step in and play guard. I mean, it's just the same five guy. Now, granted, it's a different coaching staff, and I think they'll probably be coached better than they were by the previous staff. So, you know, maybe there's some improvement from within. But to go status quo on an offensive line that was ranked by almost every metric as one of the worst in the league last year, I think that you're just asking for trouble with a young quarterback.
You surprised, Rich, they didn't do more this offseason so far with the offensive line?
Yeah, I am a little bit. I mean, they were going to, you know, they were very interested in Joe Tooney, but, I mean, look, when he went to the Chiefs and he went for an astronomical price, so there's no way the Jets were going to compete for that. I thought they would have gone after Corey Linsley, the center from Green Bay. They had no interest in him, which really surprised me. He ended up going to Arizona on a fairly reasonable deal, not outrageous. And so that's the one I thought that they could have done. But they think that Connor McGovern's going to be better at center this year, having a year under his belt. He was injured for part of last year. They felt he played hurt and got better toward the end. So we'll see. That's a huge position. They have Becton coming back. I think he'll even be better this year, having had a full offseason, the training camp. And he was pretty good last year, so that looks good. And they like George Fant at right tackle, but the two guard spots need to be upgraded.
Rich Cimini joins us here on the show. Rich, were you surprised that Joe Douglas waited as long as he waited to trade Sam?
Yes and no. I thought it was going to happen when we were in the February stage. I thought it could happen then, but then they made it pretty clear that they wanted to do their due diligence on all these rookie quarterbacks, and they did. I mean, they literally went to all the pro days and did all the scouting and so forth. And then when it got to that point, after the BYU and Ohio State pro days, I figured they'd maybe just let it go to the draft at that point and see what happens. But, you know, Carolina had been showing an interest the whole time, and things really accelerated at the Ohio State Pro Day. That's where, you know, Joe and the GM from Carolina started talking again and got things going a little bit. So, you know, I think the Jets felt like, at this point, we've waited this long, let's just get it over with. You know, we can clear the decks and get and focus on the draft.
Rich, great stuff. I mean, it's heating up for you now. We're less than 3 weeks away from the draft, and I'm sure you're going to join us a bunch and be very busy. So good stuff as always, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There you have it. That is Rich Cimini, as good as there is at covering a team in this business. We should almost just keep this ready to go, and we can say it every couple of days. Did you see the Kyrie Irving story, Rick?
He's leaving. He will not be playing because of personal reasons.
Kyrie Irving will not play in the Nets game against the Timberwolves today. He is out due to personal reasons, the team announced. Do you think that the teammates get frustrated at all with Kyrie?
Oh, man. If I was his teammate and knowing what we were trying to accomplish as a team and what the expectations for our team were, yeah, I mean, I would imagine as his teammate I would be frustrated.
I do it for the love.
See, I don't believe that. I don't believe that he loves basketball like that. I believe James Harden loves basketball. I believe Kevin Durant loves basketball. I don't know if that's the case with Kyrie.
As a Warrior, and he is great.
But here's the thing, though. He's a sensational player.
But it can frustrate you. But I think as a teammate, like there are certain teammates that you understand that there's going to be some baggage that comes along with them. And if you accommodate that baggage, like the level of play when they're on the ice, the field, or the court makes it worth it.
I think it probably is worth it. I mean, if you have him healthy for the postseason, I mean, first of all, you're going to probably win the game tonight against Minnesota anyway. And if he plays or he doesn't play, or you're the 2 seed or the 3 seed or the 4 seed, does it really ultimately matter as long as he's there in the postseason?
Yeah, but I don't think that's the issue, though, Dave. And they got smacked by the Lakers. I think the issue is, and again, you can't do this because James Harden is out with the hamstring, is you would like – to have some continuity going into the postseason. And you would like to have Steve Nash, who this is his first year as a head coach, to know have a feel for what he wants to do as far as rotations are concerned and everything else. That's important.
So you think this is a big deal?
No, I don't think them not playing together is the big deal. Like not having Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden on the floor for an extended period of time going into the postseason for me is a problem. Now, does that ultimately keep them from getting to the NBA Finals with as much talent as they have? Maybe not, but I mean, that is one of the things that I would look to as a reason. If you told me after the season was done
that
this team lost to the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals, I would
why was it?
This would be one of the reasons.
I agree with you. Wholeheartedly, I agree with you. I mean, I just listen, and I get it. Everyone has personal issues. Everyone has personal reasons, and I think that we look at athletes as just robots, right? You shouldn't have any emotional issues. You shouldn't have any family things going on. You shouldn't have deaths to deal with. I think that we're unfair when we do that. But I think that he has taken it to an extreme this year. I mean, how many times has he now decided for personal reasons that he can't play in games? Is this the fourth or fifth time already in 50 games?
I think this is the second time we've heard for personal reasons. The first one, we really had no idea why he left. When he kind of went rogue, and then we saw the pictures of him at the birthday party and everything else.
Right.
But, I mean, last absence was family matters, personal reasons, and now this one is family matters, personal reasons. I don't know if this would be such a big deal if he hadn't originally gone rogue and then had, you know, him on a Zoom call, him at a birthday party. Because now, because you've already seen that, now every time he pulls a stunt like this, like you're left questioning, like, why is he doing it?
Yeah, you don't know where he is. So he's played in 38 of the Nets' 53 games this year. He missed 4 games for injury maintenance, 2 weeks in January for personal reasons. During that time away from the team, of course, he broke the league's coronavirus health and safety protocols, which further delayed his return to game action. Irving was fined for not following the league's COVID-19 rules. When he did come back to the team, he told reporters, quote, just needed a break.
He didn't even tell his coach. I mean, he didn't tell
anyone. I don't think he cares. It's hard to envision, and he's a great player, but it's hard to envision this guy as a great teammate.
Do you think that he would be on the new Brooklyn Nets right now if he wasn't a great player? Do you think they would deal with this?
I don't think he'd be in the league if he wasn't a great player.
No, they would be dealing with this kind of stuff.
I don't think he would be allowed in the league if he was not a great player. If he pulled, and I don't think he'd be allowed to pull stunts like this. See, it's kind of the chicken or the egg. Right? Is he so good that he's allowed to do this? Because if he wasn't that good, he wouldn't even be allowed to do this. They'd kick you out of the league.
No, but I think now he's in a situation, too, surrounded with Kevin Durant and James Harden and you know, Steve Nash, who I think, you know, works well with these kind of personalities, where, I mean, he's playing his best basketball. When he's actually on the floor, he's playing his best basketball. But I think this is par for the course. And this is why when I think, you know, when he's the guy. Like when he was the guy in Cleveland without LeBron James, the team wasn't good. And then when he was the guy or tried to be the guy in Boston, it didn't work out. I don't think he's capable of being that kind of he wants to be a leader.
He can't be that guy.
But his actions don't suggest that he's capable of being a great leader.
A team leader, no way. This is the opposite. And again, it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt when you saw him take, you know, weeks off earlier in the year and he was at birthday parties. It is. It's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, and he broke protocol too.
That's right. He doesn't care.
No, but again, you deal with it because he's so great.
Exactly. When he plays. Guests on DCRP or via the Goodyear hotline. Now it's time for some Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So we hear this all the time. You never talk enough Nets. I want to throw this out there to the Nets fan. Does this bother you? Does it bother you that again, Kyrie Irving is not going to play because of personal reasons? And again, it could be a completely legitimate reason or it could not. We have no idea. But I guess the question is, does it bother you that this just continues to happen? 800-919-3776. Let's go to Al in Queens. Al, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, how you doing, guys? Second time calling. Love your show.
Appreciate it.
I think it's something really personal going on with him. I don't know if it's his child has a problem or his wife or whatever it is, but I really think it's something personal. No one's just going to take off like that for pleasure, I should say. You know what I mean? But he did say that he was at a birthday party, but it probably was a family member, and while he was going through that thing, he just showed up there. But I really think it's something personal going on.
Yeah, but Al, here's the thing, though. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, but very rarely, during the course of a season, do you see, I don't care what the sport is, do you see an athlete have take this many days off or have this many instances where they need time off because of personal reasons? Now, I don't know what's going on in his life. I can't speak to that. But I think he does himself a disservice because the first time he did this, he told nobody. I guess he texted his teammates, but didn't tell the coach or the GM.
Coach, what's going on?
He told nobody. And then I think everyone that was talking about it was of the opinion, if you got something going on that doesn't allow you to feel like you can work, that's fine. Deal with it. But you can't go showing up at birthday parties, and you can't be on Zoom calls while your team is playing.
But I think there's a couple of ways out of this, really. First of all, tell the organization what's happening. The organization being left in the dark is just a horrendous look. That's for starters. For a first-year coach to have to deal with this is horrendous. Secondly, I think that society now is pretty forgiving, Rick. If he came out and said, I have a whatever, and it's a legitimate thing, I think people say, you know what, God, let him take as much time as he needs. He's got a real personal issue going on.
No, we praise athletes now for bringing mental health to the forefront and what they're dealing with. You know, Kevin Love speaking out about mental health.
That's right. But whether it's mental health or there's an ill family member is having an issue with a spouse or a sibling, just be truthful. Just be honest. And I think for the most part, people will be very understanding about that.
I agree with you. But I think, again, it goes back to what happened the first time this happened in the optics of everything that happened. It's like, remember when Lev Bell was too sick? Like he was too sick.
And then he went bowling.
And then he went bowling.
Yep.
That's a bad look. We get it. Like if you're dealing with something that is, you know, doesn't allow you to play or do your job, I get it. That's fine. But again, if you can't play, then you shouldn't be able to go to birthday parties and everything else. That's not what your teammates, that's not what the fan base wants to see.
But it feels like, and I think this is really where there's the disconnect, is it feels like, and maybe I'm wrong, that he just doesn't care. Like, so I don't care. I'm so great that I'm not going to show up, and I won't tell people, and there's really nothing you can do. And when I'm ready to return, you'll welcome me with open arms.
Well, I think he's prioritized other things outside of basketball as being more important than actually playing basketball. Like, if it's anything to do with his family and whatever else, that comes first.
That comes
and then
way,
basketball
way
is second
first. But what with your family? That's what I'm saying. Like, is it a family member that's just upset? Is a family member?
We called
that's
you
truly
a pawn, but he called you a pawn. He doesn't need to. In his mind, he doesn't need to tell you what's going on. I mean, he told you what he thought of you.
That's right.
As a member of the media, you're a pawn to him.
That's right.
So he has no. He'll just miss it, and
he's
then he'll
an
come back. And he'll be
character, man.
But here's the thing, though. But he knows that once he comes back and he plays great, that's all we'll talk about is how great he played. Because he knows that's what he's capable of doing when he's on the floor.
That is exactly what we'll discuss, how great, in fact, that he is. And he is great, and no one denies that. You watch him play, and his handle is sensational, and we saw what he did when he poured home 40 against the Knicks a couple weeks ago, and he was just brilliant down the stretch of that game. He's a great basketball player. But you know what? Even in saying that, I still feel like we missed something. I feel like if he was truly committed to basketball, we might look at him as a leader and an all-time great player. And I feel like he's not at that level right now.
He's one of the most talented basketball players I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, God-given ability.
But when he retires, you won't think of him like that.
No, I think it was one of the most talented I've ever seen.
But when someone says to you, who are the greatest players you've ever seen? I think he had a chance to be on that list, and he'll never be on that list now.
I think that's a different... I mean, that's a different question, though. When you say greatest and most talented, I think that's two different things.
Fair enough.
I mean, there are plenty, I don't care what the sport is, of guys that have the most talent you've ever seen in your entire life that just don't maximize their talent. You can't argue how good Kyrie is.
He's amazing. Let's go to Matt and Linden. Matt, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to chime in about the Kyrie situation. I do understand, you know, about taking time off as far as not letting the team know, but that doesn't mean that he's not letting the whole team know. I mean, I don't think as a fan I would have a problem with him taking time off. When it's time for him to let somebody know what's really going on, he'll let somebody know. But as long as they're winning and, you know, he's doing his job as a point guard, I don't think it should be a problem.
So just take off whenever you need to take off, for whatever reason you need to take off, just go ahead, do your thing, and we'll welcome you with open arms when you're ready to return.
It's a job. Everybody else does
exactly
it.
Right. You're getting paid to do a job, Matt. Matt, let me ask you a question. What do you do for work?
I'm a truck driver.
Okay, so if you decided one, you know, I get something going on, and you just told, you know, your buddies that you worked with that you weren't, I'm not showing up to work, but never told your boss. How do you think that would go with the company that you work for?
That's totally different.
It's not totally different. It's the exact same thing.
So we know confirmed that he's not telling his boss.
Steve Nash had no idea where he was.
The first time, Matt, he did not tell the coach that he was leaving.
No idea where he was taking time off.
And we still never even found out what he took off for, even after the fact.
Do you know, Matt?
No, I don't know because I listen to you guys. If you guys ain't telling me, then no.
No, first time we never found out. All we saw, we found out that apparently he texted his teammates. Steve Nash didn't know. Sean Marks didn't know. And then you had the picture of him at the birthday party with no mask on, so he broke COVID protocols. And then you had him on a Zoom call while the team was playing.
I think just be transparent. All right, Santi, I didn't forget about you. 3 stars. Let's go.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
All right, we'll go to guys who are actually contributing today. How about Rougned Odor bailing the Yankees out yesterday? I mean, listen, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not exactly pleased with the series against the Rays, but it's slightly less disastrous to get one game out of Tampa Bay. So we move on.
Number two.
Boy, it was close, but Luis Rojas just gave us gold today.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is. First is a lot of screens, seeing different Dopplers, and we talked to exclusive forecast expert.
It's gonna rain.
Everyone's mad. The Mets rain. We'll see what happens next time it rains. Hopefully, Stroman's not on the mound.
Number one.
The two white labs named Barkley and Sammy. Congratulations, Dave, and I hope it's enjoyable. They're beautiful dogs, but that's always going to get a star from me.
Thank you, and I will probably not sleep for the next 12 years. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Plague a champion is DPHO Canty Rotherberg and
everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.